Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery, code Wondery.
This episode is brought to you by Noom. Forget one-size-fits-all diets. With Noom, you get a personalized weight loss plan that's tailored to your lifestyle. No food is off limits. Enjoy your favorites while discovering healthier habits. Noom's users love the flexible approach, blending psychology and biology to help you lose weight in a way that's sustainable for you. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's N-O-O-M.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
And welcome to this, the Nerdist Podcast, episode number 150. We're going on the road to tell jokes and do podcasts, so come see us live. Check Nerdist.com/calendar for information on all of those dates and how you can get tickets. Also, the Nerdist YouTube channel, now a thing! Go to YouTube.com/Nerdist and subscribe now for nerdy goodness video content to shove in your eye holes. Hey, Audible, thank you for sponsoring the Nerdist Podcast. This episode is sponsored by Audible.com. Audible is the only source for audiobooks. You go to audible.com, they have everything. I get all my audiobooks from audible.com because I travel a lot and it's very difficult to carry big heavy books places because I'm not strong. So it's digital content weighs very, very little, I can promise you. So if you need an audiobook, I promise you they have it. Go to audiblepodcast.com/nerdist as soon as you feel like listening to an audiobook. Sign up and get your free audiobook download and get something good. And let me know if you liked it or not, because I'm your buddy. Thanks again to audible.com for sponsoring this episode of the Nerdist Podcast, which, by the way, is about to enter your ears in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
See, I got a bunch of stuff.
Always getting stuff.
Oh, Pale Demon. That's going to be a winner.
Pale Demon.
Yep, a Kim Harrison classic.
That's the way to go.
Just more books. More books that I've received.
All right, that's fair. These are awful.
Well, that one might be good.
Is
I don't know, I haven't read them.
Things? Like, they send it to you. Like, oh, we have to.
Yeah, I'm on book
list.
Let's
just send them to Chris Hardwick.
I'm on. Well, they send them. It's not. I mean, they send them to lots of people.
Well, I'm not on a book list.
Well,
I've gotten a couple books actually.
Yeah.
I don't know what list you go on when you become a producer of a thing, but whatever that list is, I get pitched terrible things in email all the time.
Right.
And I get weird books sent to me that I would never, ever want.
Ted Jefferson, the Waffle King, has wrote a book. Like, yeah. There's but then I also imagine that people, when I wrote my book, people were getting stuff and were like, the Nerdist, what the fuck?
This sounds dumb. Did you see someone tweeted your book is on, they're using, Apple's using that in the bookshelf when they show
Someone tweeted me that. Yeah. That's the Nerdist way. It's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool that I'm in an Apple ad now.
Well done.
Thanks.
You've made it.
I guess I did.
Speaking of you making it, you made it back from London.
I did make it back from London. 11 hours back. Not bad, actually. Not bad.
First of all, Jonah's sick.
Jonah's very sick. If you're not hearing insults being hurled at Matthew right now,
I'm a little chipper than usual.
That's because Jonah's very sick. Matt has a doll that he's been sticking pins into the throat, and now Jonah has the flu or a throat infection or something.
Well.
So he's really, really ill because we recorded our stand-up comedy special last night, which you had a great set on. And Jonah was supposed to be there for that, and he was so sick. I just said, "Don't come, don't get everyone sick. Stay home and get better." And so he's still down for the count. He's still way down for the count.
Poor guy.
So yeah, I just got back from London. And it was an amazing, amazing trip. We shot stuff for the Nerdist TV special. I shot stuff with Simon Pegg and David Tennant and ran around London. And it was incredible.
So who was your favorite? Let's just throw that out there.
There's no favorites. Well,
yep, there is. Go ahead.
There's no favorites.
Really, who was it?
There's no favorites.
It was probably David Tennant.
Who
had the best hair? I can ask that.
Tennant has pretty great hair. Yeah. I mean, better than anyone, really. Anyone on the planet.
No, he's got great, great hair.
It's fantastic. And Tennant was everything you want him to be, just in terms of charming and sweet and funny. And Time Lordy. And he was great. He was really great. We recorded this segment for the TV show in the library of the East India Club,
which is the East
India Trading Company, the private company that had its own army that probably slaughtered some people to bring spices back to
lots of them. But those spices were good,
delicious. Listen, if we get
the real point is the spice.
If we get saffron, then you know what? It's worth it.
A couple people have to die, so I mean, get saffron. It's fine.
I mean, it's really good on rice.
Is it? I've never had it on rice.
Well, saffron rice.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll try it. I like coconut rice.
Really?
Yeah. You ever had that?
Shut up, you stupid piece of shit. I'm just trying to balance the... Coconut rice is also very good.
Yeah.
Coconut rice is also very, very, very good.
How many days total were you in London?
Six.
Felt like more than that.
I was there 6 days. I know. I missed you too.
Yeah.
I was there six...
Not what I was saying. I just said it felt like longer.
Oh, okay.
I didn't say I missed you.
Oh, no. Well, listen.
Yeah.
I get it. No. It's unspoken. I can see it in your eyes. It's all the nonverbal communication. But it was a phenomenal trip. And while I was there, I got a direct message from this friend of mine, Matt Kirshen, who is a fucking great British comic, young British comic. And he was like, "Oh, you're in London. We're doing a show at the Soho Theater," which I was staying near. And it was Paul Provenza does this improvised, he produces this improvised stand-up show called Setlist. Mm-hmm. And it's fucking genius. So genius that I can't believe I never thought of doing. It's just like one of those things you're like, oh, that's a great idea. Comics go up on stage and in the back, they topics flash, like project in the background during their set. And they have to hit each of those topics during their set while making it seem like the set they're doing is the set they've been doing for years. So you can't get meta on it and be like, I don't know. I just got this.
That sounds awesome.
And it was amazing. Greg Proops did it and Tim Minchin, who was amazing. And Rich Hall, if you remember. Yep. Rich Hall was on SNL here in the States. And then he left America a long time ago and became a big comedy star in the UK. He was brilliant. The whole thing was just incredible.
That sounds awesome.
I think they're going to start doing it here at UCB.
How long are the sets?
You know, 10 minutes. Oh, and this great British comic named Josie Long. If you have a minute, look her up. She's great.
Is she attractive?
She's adorable.
I'll look her up.
And so it was really fun. It was just that was really fun. And I pretty much worked the whole time. Mm-hmm. But really, I really enjoy London. It's really nice.
You didn't miss much when you were gone. Nothing really happened here.
I know I would not have talked to Tennant here.
That's true.
So it was...
Well, I'm saying you didn't miss much.
Way worth the trip.
So next time they'll fly us all out, right?
With their weird coin-based currency.
I love it.
No.
I love their currency. Everything, unless it's $5, everything is coins.
I know, but it's in your pockets, it turns your testicles into those weird desk balls that tick, click, click. It's just clacking the entire time.
But you still got to spend British pounds. I want to do that at an antique store.
I know. I saw a lot of antique stores there, and I thought of you.
Did you go in at all?
You go, before I left, you go, let me know if you see any antiques. And I'm like, England is a fucking antique. I'm going to be in the biggest antique.
Yeah, I know. But they have buildings from, like, the year 5.
Yep, the year 5.
Well,
this one dates
old is Stonehenge?
This dates back to 9. Well, Stonehenge
it's
isn't
older
in,
than the year 5.
Stonehenge is not in London.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, I'm speaking of the country.
Yeah.
In and of itself.
But you get into Scotland and you're like, "Oh, these ruins date back to the 1100s, you know, like ruins like where Tennant was from."
Yeah, the year 5 is before that.
The year 5 is definitely before 1100. That's how numbers work.
So,
we've established that. five comes way before 1100.
Yeah.
But it was a really nice trip. Really, really, really nice trip.
Oh, I did Loud Noises at Meltdown, which was Becca's show. Becca, who writes.
Oh yeah, the music, yeah, yeah. The music Nerdist show.
It was fun.
She's great. She, Becca and Matt, Matt Grossinger, they tag team the music beat for the Nerdist website. And a couple months ago, she came to me and said, you know, could I do a local, like a music show once a month that showcases local bands? And I said, sure. And so the Loud Noises was the first one.
Yeah, it was great. We did stand up before the bands played, which is always fun when you're there doing stand up for people that want to see bands.
Yep. Yeah, they love
but
that.
It worked out. It worked out.
Well, Meltdown, it'll work out.
Yeah, Meltdown, anything goes, I think.
You can't go do jokes in front of Foreigner.
Well, you could.
I guess you could.
About Journey. They love it.
That show last night that we did, the stand-up comedy special, was so much fun.
It was a ton
that,
of
that,
fun.
That'll be going up soon. There were so many great comics on there. I have to figure out if I'm going to just run the two-hour show in its entirety or break it up into a two-parter. I just don't
no,
know.
No. It doesn't run an hour. If you take out, when you take out Dimitri, who dropped in and did a set, when you take him out, I think it comes in at 2 hours.
Okay. And people are going to naturally ask, why would you take out Dimitri Martin, who dropped in?
He's working on a set. People let him be. Because
he's working on a set, and he doesn't want to burn through material by putting it on the podcast. So
exactly what I didn't want to do, but I did it for you people. Now you've heard 8 minutes of me.
Now you got to write another 8 minutes.
Well, that's easy.
You'll be fine.
Yeah. It's not a problem.
But everyone had great sets, and I feel like it's going to turn into a yearly thing.
It was you, probably.
That didn't happen. The only time I bombed is when I was walking off stage and I tripped over the other microphone.
That was fantastic.
So that was a literal bombing of the microphone.
My intro wasn't good enough. So
your intro wasn't good enough for you, so I came out and gave you a bigger intro, and then then comically stormed off stage, but then really tripped over a microphone, and that went down. And you know, it happens.
I enjoyed it. It was all great. And ironically, you'll hear it, people. Chris introduces me. He used to fix computers. He doesn't anymore. And ironically, I had to fix Gaston's computer that night.
Then you spent the last like hour at Meltdown fixing Gaston's MacBook.
You never escape. It's like the mafia.
Once you're in, they pull you back in.
Yeah.
So that was a lot of fun. But all in all, and I went to... Simon Pegg gave me tickets to the premiere of Mission Impossible, mm-hmm. which was really fun.
Did you see it?
I saw it. It was great. I saw it on IMAX, which I highly recommend.
I think Tom Cruise is going to kill himself doing those stunts.
He fucking crazy stunts.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Like, you see it in the trailer. It's on the billboard, too, so it's not really a spoiler, but he's on that fucking giant building.
The tallest building in the world. Khalif. It's in Dubai.
Yeah.
And so he's like rappelling down the side of it, which he actually did. Yeah. And you see... the shots where they go wide, you're like, he's going down the side of that building.
Yeah.
I mean, you feel like, and in the IMAX, it kind of, you feel your
it's more pukey.
You feel your testicles start to migrate into your abdomen.
Wouldn't that be great if we could just yell retract and our testicles would go back in?
Yes, like Wolverine's claws.
Yes.
Be great if they were sharp,
he doesn't
too.
Have to yell retract.
Retract! But it's not the claw. I'm not doing this for my claws. Don't worry about it, guys.
Here's an observation I had. Cyclops, why? Like he shoots with his eyes, right?
Mm-hmm.
He misses. Why does he miss?
Because that's really just a looking at stuff thing.
How do you?
I don't know.
All right, someone explain that to me.
I don't know. That's really just looking at something.
Yeah, he misses like giant sentinels and stuff. He misses giant things.
You know who else I saw at the premiere was Jeremy Clarkson.
Oh, you're so lucky.
Jeremy Clarkson.
I wish I'd seen him in person.
Who was in quite a bit of trouble in Britain.
Yeah, over the he said that the union workers should be shot.
But he said it
in a joking way.
The way that it was explained to me, and I didn't see it, but the way that it was explained to me was that he was doing an interview. There was a teacher's strike, I believe.
Yeah.
And he was speaking in favor of them, and then he said something like, "Oh, this is the BBC, so you need a fair and balanced point. They should all be taken out and shot." That's how it was explained to me. But lifted out of context.
It wasn't quite like that. It was more just...
So you saw it.
It was conversational, and it was a joke, clearly. And, you know, whatever.
And Clarkson everyone...
always, constantly, that's happening to him.
So Jeremy Clarkson?
Yeah.
He seems cranky, though.
Yeah, of course he is.
He came into the premiere, and there were these obnoxious 12-year-old kids behind me. And he walked in and they were like, "Oh, it's Jeremy Clarkson. Would you buy me a car, Jeremy Clarkson?" I'm like, Jesus Christ.
I wish he'd buy me a car. He gives me directions every day at my Top Gear TomTom.
You downloaded Jeremy Clarkson's voice?
No, I bought the limited edition Top Gear TomTom.
"Turn right, all teachers should be shot."
No, he says in 300 yards, turn left. And if you don't know where left is, you really shouldn't be driving. He says things like that.
Your GPS snarks at you?
Yes, it does.
I don't need that.
It says, take the highway and beware of Oldsmobiles.
It's irritating enough when GPS gets stuff wrong. Like, yeah. I'm constantly like, fuck you, GPS. But then if it's snarking me back, I'd be like, you do not want to snark at me right now.
Every time, it does get annoying, though, because every time you reach your destination, it says the same thing. It says, you've reached your destination with the aid of 32 satellites and me. Well done.
Global positioning snark.
Yes. But it's fantastic. I highly recommend it. Live traffic.
That was taken out of... So his thing was taken out of context.
Tom Lennon, you want me to answer?
Hey, you're on the Nerdist podcast, Tom Lennon. Hey, guys, what's going on? Hey, what are you doing? You're doing
your podcast?
Sure, put him on the speakerphone.
Hang on. Tom, I'm recording a podcast right now, and I put you on speakerphone.
Oh, hi, everybody. Is, what's the guy with the glasses?
Jonah?
Yeah, and who's the real skinny guy? He used to be a drunk.
Ryan Seacrest.
No, that's...
Yeah, he was married to Jenny McCarthy for a while?
Yeah, it's Chris Hardwick. Chris Hardwick.
I think maybe you've switched your Hardwick lore.
No, that's Chris Hardwick. He's right. You're right, Tom. That's Chris Hardwick.
But he was married to Jenny McCarthy.
Uh-huh.
Is that Tom Lennon from Kids in the Hall?
Oh, it stings. It's so close to home.
Yeah, but listen, I'm recording a podcast, and what I'll do is when I'm done, Tom, I am going to call you back.
Right. Are you going to leave this part in, or are you going to edit it out?
No, this is going to stay in.
The show started in my garage.
That's true.
The show did start in your garage.
Our very first episode. Tom now, this is Tom's fifth appearance
Tom Lennon
on the show.
Is essentially the midwife of the Nerdist podcast.
Tom birthed us. He got afterbirth on his couch.
Yeah, he
us.
Still has the umbilical cord.
By the way, that when you came out, I did the forceps too hard, which explains some of the stuff that's wrong with your face.
All right, bye, Tom.
Oh, gold! Love that guy. So, there is someone very special here who has just showed up. That hopefully we'll be able to talk about politics and where we're going as a culture. The Nerdist channel, which is our official YouTube channel, I saw a candidate speak a little while back, and I thought, you know what, this guy has something, and I really like what he's about. He seems interesting to me, so I want to take the platform that I have. And kind of throw my support behind him.
My favorite thing about him is the bolo tie.
He's great.
Yeah.
So I would like to introduce on to the Nerdist podcast right now. It's our presidential candidate for 2012, Marvin E. Kwasnicki.
Hi there.
Marvin, let's get you closer to the microphone.
All right, thank you. How's that? Now, I see a little button here that says cough.
That doesn't actually make you cough.
Okay.
No.
Thank you.
That's if you're going to cough, you hit that button.
All right. Now... Okay, so now,
but you hit
so
it. And
I
then
would
cough.
I would touch that if.
Okay, but now you're talking. No, but you did the opposite.
All right, so let's just try that again. there you go.
Great.
Well, okay.
Well done.
So now it's very nice to know you are.
I'm Chris.
Very nice.
Thank
and you.
You
are.
I am Matt.
Wow.
We're helping you with your campaign.
That's excellent, because that's we're doing gangbusters.
You guys, you're doing great. Your campaign announcement.
Oh, hell. I just touched your microphone. It's all down now. All right.
Can you lift that
back
up?
No, it's all right.
Okay, there
My
you go.
My arms are kind of funny, so.
We weren't going
to. I don't want to bring that up, but. Yeah.
So I guess my question is, you know, a lot of the candidates, Marvin, were, they we've known for a long time that they were in the race.
Yeah.
So it feels kind of late in the game. So why now? Why enter the race after these other people have been campaigning for months?
Well, now here's the deal on that there. Did that work just now?
That was close. You almost got it.
Well, here's the deal now. We've seen Kane, who I thought he was a darling little man, but now he's gone. And more of these people you're going to find in the sea, now they're going to go. And my thing was, the later I get in, then they can't find, by the time they find out anything about me, I could be president. So you see now, not that I have any problems, because I don't, but if they, you know, there are people out there that are digging
mm-hmm.
on information. I just, that button is, it's neat. So my deal is, the later you get in, the less they can find out about you, and I think that's best.
So you are from Tonopah, Nevada.
Tonopah, Nevada. I've lived there ever since I was tiny.
And turquoise farming is the family trade?
No, that I discovered that myself. No.
Do you think that you can beat out the other candidates for this nomination? And if you do get this nomination, why are you so confident that you can beat Obama?
Number one, I can beat all those other guys because I think they're clowns. But Michelle Bachmann, man, she's pretty. But Obama is getting, I think he's watching these debates and he's sitting there getting lazy, you know. And he's sitting, I can beat these guys, but he doesn't know about me. So I'm gonna come at him with everything I got.
And what do you feel like is the biggest weapon in your arsenal at the moment?
Total simplicity.
Mm-hmm.
I have a simple answer for everything. And the other thing is I don't know much about anything, you know. And so I think the American public are like, well, hell, he doesn't know. Isn't that refreshing, you know? And I think I'm giving people a chance to go, you know, where a little kid's sitting on his baby's knee going, Daddy, he's like me. And
but you know kids can't vote.
Right. Well, no, but they can tell. You know what kids, they tell their dads and moms what to do. So I want to appeal to the little kids, too.
Do you think that Herman Cain's departure from the race gives you an advantage now that there's a vacated...
Yes, because he was next... He was the most simple in line next to me. Now, I'm even more simple, and I like to answer with one-word answers, which I'm not doing now, but now that I'm aware of it, I will.
Okay.
But, so go ahead and ask me another question, and I'll show you an example of that.
Okay. Have you enjoyed...
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Do you find it difficult?
No.
How many times...
On Thursday.
Now, in the...
There you go.
this is a little bit of a departure because I saw in your Iowa debates...
Yeah.
You cracked the code for what the American people want.
Well,
which...
now, that's right, because American people, not only do they want simplicity, they want someone to repeat a word three times.
Like Herman Cain's 999 plan.
999, and I mean, my gosh, you would have thought he was a rich man. What I mean by that is that's where everyone liked him. But then Michelle Bachmann, who just sometimes she steals her material, and she said, oh, you know, what did she say? What was it? Win, win, win?
Win, win, win.
All right. Well, you know, so she's doing the three things. And my thing is, to heck with that, let's go, 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 you know, or take any other word, Chris, that you want to do. Give me a word, and I'll show you the power of this.
Pancake.
Pancake, pancake, pancake.
I like where this guy's coming from.
Now, you would probably want one.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Well, as opposed to if someone just said that word to me once, I'd be like, well, what do I do with that?
You'd be like, well, no, you know, it's no.
Because the first time you hear it, you recognize the word. I guess the second time, you're like, where's he going with this? And the third time, you're like,
absolutely right.
Sold.
One more word. Give it to me.
Anti-disestablishmentarianism.
Anti-disestablishmentarianism. See, that button just keeps looking at me. That's weird.
Are you catching a cold?
No, but it says cough, and, you know, I'm highly suggestible.
It's not an order.
I just want to cough.
It's not an order.
I know, but, you know, this is all new to me. I normally don't get out of Tonopah, and here we are with the lights and the microphone.
I know, and all of a sudden you're famous? I mean, is it weird?
It's not weird, but it's weird. You know, my wife... I said, you should go with me. I'm going to go to that, what's the name of your show again?
The Nerdist.
I said, I was going to be on that, what you said. And she's like, well, someone's got a mind to shop, Marvin. But, you know, so I hope I answer your question.
Well, if you get elected, someone's going to have to mind the shop for a long time.
She would be, I'd tell you something. The way she keeps books, you know, she'd be quite a first lady. Myrna Wood, and
yeah.
I love her. I used to call her my old lady. Mm-hmm. That was when we were younger, and now that she's older, it's not as fun. But I love her, and she's ready to be She's ready to be first lady.
If elected, do you see the implementation of turquoise into the White House?
Into the state emblem, yeah. You would see pluribus unum. Unum.
Yeah, one for many.
And that would be emblazoned in turquoise with agate and some silver geodesics on it.
So that's part of your plan? That's part of your platform?
That would be the first thing. Well, that first thing I'd do when I get in the Oval Office on that first day is I'd just be sitting in the Oval Office going, wow, this is amazing. Because, you know, I don't think presidents, they're always like, oh, this is, you know, this is very, I'm the president. But I don't think they ever take that day to go, wow, you know, and I would on that first day.
Well, and then finally, I don't hope this doesn't come off as negative, and I apologize. If you are not able to get the Republican nomination, will you run on an independent ticket?
I'm thinking about all of my options, and that could be one of them, but I don't know. I'd hate to have to make that decision.
If you hear questions that you don't know, since you said that you don't know a lot, you hear questions you don't know how to answer, what are you going to do? You're going to be asked questions nonstop.
Well, you know, I tell you, everyone wants their president to have the answer lickety-split on the spot, and life doesn't work that way, as you know. Your name again was?
That's Chris.
Chris. And it doesn't work that way. You know, you have to take time to think. So sometimes you just avoid the question. You don't pretend you don't hear the question. That's really the best way. So if you ask me something difficult, well, I'll show you how that will go.
Okay. How do you think you're going to solve the health crisis?
Is he talking to me?
Mr. Kwasniewski.
Yeah.
Mr. Kwasniewski.
I can't hear the question. There's something wrong with my earpiece.
How do you feel like you will solve the middle class tax issue?
There's something wrong with my microphone. I can't hear. Do you see how that's done?
That was really...
Thank you.
Did actually hear me,
yeah,
and you were...
Yeah, but I'm avoiding you because I need time to process your question and talk to my people.
Are you going to call me back in a week and give me an answer?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
But I could...
Well, it is.
But I'm hoping you'd forget, you see, and then we're off solving getting into space.
Yeah.
And winning again.
Hey, wait a minute.
And getting
America
back to number one.
I'm loving this.
I'm not going to think about all this. Oh, that's so hard. Let's go into space.
Yay.
Let's dig up stuff.
Yes. I love this.
Number one, I want to announce it on you. I want to throw as much money as I can behind Bigfoot research. Bigfoot.
Okay. Bigfoot. We need to
research.
Find him.
Because I'm telling you, he's out there. And we're going to find him and we're going to put him in a little jail.
I love a little jail for Bigfoot.
I love this platform. Right. We're going to find
aliens
Bigfoot.
Are out there, and I want the answer to it. If first thing is president, besides that one day where I'm having a party.
Yeah.
The second day, it's I'm going to get all that secret information and let the American people know what is really going on.
I think
on.
You might get elected just based on that.
Well, that's right, because Bigfoot's out there and aliens are out there, and I've been probed before, and we're going to get this out there.
I'm sorry, what did you just say?
Well, it's...
Well, I thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome.
If you want to follow the Marvin E. Kwasniewski campaign, you can go to youtube.com/Nerdist. That is the official Nerdist channel. We are fully supporting you.
Thank you very much.
And your campaign.
God bless you.
It was a pleasure to have you.
This platform, let's recap this. It's amazing. America's number one.
Mm-hmm.
We're going back to space.
Going back to space. We're going to find Bigfoot.
Find Bigfoot. Right. And we're all going to know about the aliens.
We're going to know about the aliens. We're going to know about everything.
Oh, and we're going to dig for stuff.
Yep.
This is the best platform I've ever heard.
This is the best thing I've heard all campaign season.
Thank you very much. You guys make me want to, you know.
Dig?
Just, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We're going to dig for stuff.
Thank you.
Marvin E. Kwasniewski. That was amazing. He was great.
That was great. I was just, I can't agree more with him.
You could. It would be weird. It's not possible, actually.
No, it's not possible.
It's actually not
possible.
That's why
I said I can't do that.
Finally,
we should go back to space. Honestly, why not? Stop wasting money. We got a war we're not paying for now.
We need to go one of those extra solar mega Earths.
Sure, we could go there. It'll take a while.
A little bit of time.
How many light years is that?
enough that we wouldn't survive it.
60 or 600, something. I feel like if it's 60, we would have found it sooner. It's probably further away.
It's that Kepler.
Yeah.
Find another thing. And,
22? I should
and,
know this.
And not only space, not you know, isn't it pretty amazing, though, that within the same week or so, we got news about extrasolar megaplanets that could theoretically sustain
sure.
life. And also, we got the Higgs boson news as well.
And the NBA lockout ended. This is amazing. It was an amazing week.
One of those three things I couldn't give a shit about. If you said, Chris, I want to tell you something about the NBA, but I'm going to need a shit from you. And I'll be like, I'm out. I don't got it. It's not going to happen. And I mean, that was the one.
But then I'd say, like, but you could even collect it, like, you know, later and just and get it to me. And I'm just going to tell you about the NBA.
It's not.
Not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
That's too bad. But yeah, science is cool. And then, you know, people don't worry about it anymore. It's really depressing.
I wonder what's going to happen when they find the Higgs boson.
When they find it?
When they actually identify the Higgs boson. I mean, they've seen traces of it. They have a sense of where it is. They feel like they're going to find it early next year.
Then they will then spend more years
trying to figure out what gives then, you know, something its mass.
We're not getting an answer.
Or does it just sort of help their overall, their formula work? They've had this theoretical idea that this is how matter interacts with each other. And this is, you know, and I guess that's just the idea of, well, yeah, this thing should exist. Oh, good. We found it. Oh, well, we were right. Good
yeah,
for us.
What do you do with it once you find it?
I don't know.
Helps us do what? Stuff, I'm sure.
Then you take the Higgs boson to spring break and see lots of titties.
I do like the amount of people that have come to try and stop the Hadron Collider claiming they were from the future. At least five people.
That would be amazing.
That's happened.
Could you show up at CERN with, like, the Doc Brown shields?
You know that's
shields?
Happened, right?
Are you
know
serious?
That's happened.
As a joke?
No. Crazy people. I'm assuming they're crazy, or we're all fucked. They have gone and to the Hadron Collider trying to break in and then claim they were from the future, trying to stop the end of the world.
Really?
Which, first of all, the world didn't end. You're obviously, you know, you came back from the future, so there's still something left.
Right.
So it's not going to be that bad. If they are from the future, we'll be fine. Some of us.
I'm weirded out that Back to the Future's storyline went into the future to 2015. And
yeah,
we're almost there.
Yeah, I'm excited about it.
We're almost there.
That TV looks so good today.
Yeah, we reviewed a giant 72-inch.
70, it was 70-inch.
Just 70-inch?
70.
One of the sharp Aquos.
Just 70.
Oh, only 70?
Just 5.5 feet by
yeah,
3 feet.
Sorry.
Yeah. Mm. No, it was awesome.
Come back to me when it's 6 feet.
It was literally the best picture I'd ever seen on a TV.
They are not sponsoring this podcast, so we are not saying this for any other reason other than it looked, and the 3D looked really good.
I reviewed it today, and you can see that on Attack of the Show's website, and see Chris review the television.
Candace mainly did the review, and I just quoted Back to the Future.
She kept you on the rails.
I quoted.
We were very heavy today too, which was extra fun watching you do lines from Back to the Future while we were like.
You can't project it without sound and then have me not start quoting it.
So we should have turned it up, is what you're saying?
Yes. Yes.
But no, seriously, that sharp Aquos. If they would like to send one to me, I'll take it.
They're only $3,000 for a 70-inch.
70-inch, yeah. They're $31.34 right now on Amazon.
That's pretty amazing.
With free shipping if you're Amazon Prime.
Which I am.
Right? Let's both get one, but you pay for them.
I'm
yeah.
That sounds like a
No, we both you get a television and I do. How is this bad?
You know who we were going to invite onto the podcast because Jonah wasn't here and then we got distracted was Nick, who's quietly sitting over there in the corner.
Just waiting my turn.
Nick's seacresting. That's what I call
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I'm seacresting.
He's seacresting.
Seacresting the waves.
It's like what a whale does.
Seacresting the airwaves.
Yes. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you.
Thank you, sir.
And yours.
Thank you.
Same I really like the Van Dyke that you got going
the
on.
Van Dyke,
there.
The Van Gogh? No,
it's
the Van
really
Dyke.
Nice.
You like that, huh?
I do.
This is just laziness.
It's very
Deadwood-y,
though. You
pronounced Van Gogh correctly.
Van Gogh.
Van Gogh.
He did it.
That's right.
I'm impressed.
Good.
But anyway, I don't know if it's going to hang around after the holidays. It may just...
So it's a holiday
it
Van
may
Dyke?
Just, it may just disappear. I started it in, like, October, and I don't know. I look at it, and I'm getting old.
Holiday Van Dyke. That's my favorite it. Christmas song.
Holiday Van Dyke.
Holiday Van Dyke.
Just made
That's
that
right.
up. Not a real song.
Your son listens to the podcast. What are you getting him for Christmas?
He wants. Don't tell him.
Don't tell him what he wants?
No. He wants Photoshop.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like a whole, like the CS.
He wants the whole thing.
The whole CS suite?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is probably several $1,000s. Yeah, I don't know.
CS.
I don't know. What is that going for now?
800, I think.
About 800? Yeah, he's not going to get that then.
You might be able to.
Sorry, son.
Never mind. I'll talk about this off the air. Forget it. I could probably crack it for him.
Well, if anyone who happens to work for Adobe wants to give a young, a burgeoning young 15-year-old artist his dream present, it would be the Creative Suite, Creative Suite.
Yeah. Please, Adobe. Also, give us while we're at it. Give him a tablet.
Give us the Creative Suite so Nick can take credit for it.
Ooh.
And that's, you know, I tell you, he keeps asking me, so when are you going to see Chris? Because he wants to draw something for you guys.
Oh, what does he want to do?
Well, actually, he wants suggestions. Do you guys want caricatures, or do you want something more serious, or would you like to be like?
I have an idea.
Yeah,
I want to do an undercover Batman type elephant who has the ability to phase through solid matter, called Elephantum.
You have lost me.
You know, I think he could do it.
Okay, good.
Okay, I'll have him work on it. Please. I'll tell him exactly.
Elephantum. And then I see like a purple cape and a purple mask.
And a trunk?
Is it weird that this is the first thing that came to my mind?
No, I totally.
Yeah, he's an elephant. He's got a trunk.
That's not weird. What's weird is that you quit drinking. And still came up with that.
That's, yeah, I know. Well, I feel like that would be more drug-induced than alcohol-induced.
If you're drinking absinthe, I'm sure you could.
Isn't alcohol ideas are... What do you want us to draw? Everything's feels great.
Yeah. Yeah.
You guys are the fucking best.
When I get drunk, which is rare, very, very, very rare, but when I do, I get really loud.
Yes.
I get loud.
Everything. You get loud about everything.
And then I get into arguments with only myself about who the greatest guitarist was of all time.
And who was the greatest guitarist?
Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Stevie Ray Vaughan.
I say that drunk or sober.
Really?
Yep.
We should get you hammered and then... Just do a regular hostful, and then when Jonah lays into you, you'll just be like, shut your fucking mouth, you giant hipster. Like, you'll just lose.
And when you were sober,
yeah.
Who is the greatest guitarist?
It's still Stevie.
Well, that's not drinking.
But then I argue with myself, and I'm like, well, Hendrix, really? I mean,
yeah.
Then Albert King. You gotta throw Albert King. Everybody forgets about Albert King.
That's true.
I don't. He was left-handed, Chris.
That's probably why you love him so much.
He played upside down.
So did Jimi Hendrix, though.
But no, Jimi restrung it.
Restrung it.
Albert did not. So Albert King has these crazy bends because he's pulling the strings down.
Oh.
Because it's easier to, you know, pull down than it is to push up. So you get higher, you get crazier bends. So, he's hitting high notes and bending. He's pulling it down, and it's insane.
Not my favorite guitarist, though.
Albert King is not your favorite guitarist?
Django.
Django Reinhardt. Yeah. Django Reinhardt's good if you like three fingers.
Yeah, you can play with. You see what he did? He only had three fingers. Yeah.
He is impressive. He's very impressive. That movie, Sweet and Low Down,
yeah.
is fantastic. You should check that out.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
Woody Allen.
Yeah, the Woody Allen movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's really good. Sean Penn's the second greatest guitarist.
I think Scott Stapp from.
He's like probably great.
Just throwing someone the weirdest.
Yeah, no, he's good. And then. I like John. I think John Mayer is a great guitarist too.
Yeah, I can argue
very
that.
Technical.
I don't know if he's got enough.
I like more of the '50s jazz guitarists. So like
Joe Pass.
Yeah,
Joe Pass is great. He's one of my favorites.
Johnny Smith. One of my favorites.
Yep.
Yeah.
I like John Scofield now. If you want to go jazz guitarist now.
What about Ankles McCarthy?
Ankles McCarthy.
One of my
not
favorites.
A real person.
Yeah,
he played with his ankles.
Oh, yeah. I see.
Yeah.
How do you do
not
that?
Guitar? He
related
just,
to
he
Charlie
fondled
McCarthy.
His own ankles.
Yeah.
Oh, I did want to say. To Fender, thanks for dropping off a Kurt Cobain signature left-handed model.
Wow!
Thank you, Dell from Fender, for doing that for me.
I know you texted the picture to me
in England. I was like, this is going to cost him $1. I'm going to set him.
No. I got an international plan for England.
All right.
So it's probably going to cost me $1,000 as opposed to $3,000.
Nice. But so I'm gonna actually I'm gonna review the guitar, and I'll probably write a big ass review for.
Are you gonna play it?
I'm gonna play the shit out of it. How are you gonna?
We should record something because Jonah plays drums.
Yeah, we could record something.
Oh, you need to start on the bass then.
No.
He sings and plays a hell of a
Do you really? Do
Mike
you
Furman plays bass.
Yep.
Mike Furman is a bass. Fucking amazing
really
bass player.
I was really enjoying his bass lines during the Nerdist special.
He's great.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I remember these old, I may have said this on the podcast before, these old videos of Mike when he was 15 years old, mm-hmm. and he played bass at a black church. Mm-hmm. And so you see this camera panning across this church, and everyone's singing, and the music's fantastic. And then you just see this tiny little white head of Mike Furman with his super gelled hair bouncing up and down, playing bass. He was amazing.
He's
like, if you say James Jamerson to Furman, he fucking loses his mind.
So I hear you sing, though.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm not like a good professional singer. I'm good for a comedian.
No, he's a good singer.
I'm good. I'm
he's
a good.
See, he's
himself.
Propping you up here,
he's
so you know.
Himself.
I'm a good singer for a comedian.
He's underselling himself, which
you are,
is rare.
You are.
I always undersell myself. What are you talking about? That's all my brain knows how to do.
No, he's like, Chris is a very good singer. You should go listen to the Hard and Firm stuff. He's got, it's great.
It's great. Guy.
No, that's true.
I like it. Listen. Yeah. Okay. How about a little something?
What?
How about a little something?
He sings constantly.
Come on.
We really need it again. God.
It's all right.
Oh, dreidel, dreidel, dreidel.
What did I tell you?
I made you out of clay.
Clay.
It's
going to be somebody.
Clay Aiken.
Ooh. That was nice.
Or Clay Aiken made you.
Yep, he did.
I tell you.
In a tube. Because he can't love a woman.
Oh. Do you see how we just kind of went? You
nice.
Sure you really wanted me on the show?
That was a good improv. I love having you on the show. People love hearing you on the show too. It's kind of fun.
Wow!
It's fun. Like we have a nice little cast of characters.
It's just kind of warm and fuzzy.
It's good.
Yeah, it's all right.
You going away for the holidays, there, Nick?
You know that tomorrow is the last day for me, mm-hmm. so I'm going to take a couple of weeks off and just kind of chill.
Nice.
You know, be with the family. Go little places here and there.
Do you not turn the TV on for 2 weeks because you have all these monitors to stare at 10 hours a day?
It's, for me, the only reason the TV is on is to watch football for the next 3 weeks. And I don't know, you know, Christmas Day is going to be, this is going to be up on Christmas, before Christmas Day. Day is going to be, you know, it's family and football. That's what it is. And, of course, the NBA comes back that day, so.
Oh.
The National Bowling Association?
That's it, actually, yeah. 10 o'clock. I'll
Looking
be there.
Looking forward to it. Celtics are playing.
Chris Schenkel will be there.
Chris!
Will be there saying he's using his 11 ball as he throws sideways to the pins.
Did we ever talk about your birthday party and just how much worse at bowling I am than you?
To be fair, I've been bowling since I could walk.
Yeah, well, that is fair, I guess. You also have your own ball. So
I have my own ball. I have a couple and shoes.
But, so the first time, the first round or frame? How was that in
frame.
Bowling?
First frame
of bowling. Chris beat me by 106.
The first game, not the first frame.
No, I was gonna say
first game.
106.
He's not that good.
I did okay. I've not bowled in a couple years, but I managed to. I shot 183, 234. Not bad.
234.
Yeah.
Then, wow. Yeah. So he beats me by 106.
Okay.
Then he beats me by 111.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a great game.
Oh, it wasn't good enough. Listen, it's not. Bowling is not bragging. Being able to bowl well is not bragging. Because I don't know who that really impresses.
Bowlers.
Other bowlers, yeah.
I guess so. But it was fun. It was fun. We did it at All-Star Lanes in Eagle Rock, which has sentimental value to me because my father's bowling center is called All-Star Lanes. So we had it at All-Star Lanes in Eagle Rock. And his is in Memphis, and we went to Eagle Rock.
Oh, wow.
And... And it's really, I love that place.
Wait, does he have a place in Memphis and in Florida?
No, just Memphis.
Why do I think your dad lives in Florida?
He did retire to Florida for a while.
And now he's back?
And now he's moved back to Memphis primarily because...
He missed the bowling lane.
He did. That's exactly what happened.
That's probably what happened, yeah.
He went to Florida. It was really fun for a while because it was very relaxing. He had a nice little house on a golf course. He swam laps every day. And then you can only do that for so long before you're like, what the fuck am I? Am I a paperweight here? I'm just waiting to die. So he moved back up to Memphis for most of the year to... I mean, in the winters, though, he'll probably spend a little more time in Florida, but... He just loves being in a bowling center.
So he runs a bowling alley, mm-hmm. or he owns it.
He does. He's been in the bowling business for 50 years plus, and he just loves being in a bowling center. It's where he feels at home and being around customers, and having beers with people, and the hearing the pins crash. Loves it.
It's really a relaxing place. I enjoy going bowling. I mean, one of the things I really like is that There's a place up where I live that on Saturday nights they do the neon bowling.
Yeah,
where
they, yeah,
yeah, where they do that. That's cool.
I hate that.
You don't like that?
I don't like it either. I need to have lights and I need to have silence.
Yeah. Oh, you have to have silence?
Well, it's just like when there's music and lights and people yelling and I can't, it's not.
No. The real fun came when we figured out that there's a speedometer on the lane.
Yeah, then
I've never seen that.
It was registering how fast they were throwing the ball, and then, you know, I think the fastest was like 17 miles an hour.
No. Furman hit 23 miles an hour or 26 miles an hour, something like that.
Furman has a good form. And you know who else was good was Rove McManus was good.
Rove was good, yeah.
And then Weird Al, you didn't think he was going to be good because he would like drop the ball.
Mm-hmm.
It would like thud and then he'd get a strike. So he had a unique style that was that actually he was very good.
Let's talk about the time that I hurled the ball down the lane. It hit the gutter from midair and then bounced back in the lane and hit two pins.
Yeah, I think you cracked the...
No, I didn't do anything.
I think you cracked the divider.
Was that bumper the ball?
I didn't really do anything.
No. Okay. That was good. It was really fun. And then we had karaoke afterwards, yep. There was a karaoke bar right there. And it was really fun. Great.
Now, at your dad's lanes, do they have the real modern, where it's all done for you? Yeah. Because I kind of miss the old days where you had to really figure it out. You had the opaque projector.
Burn your fucking arm on the projector.
On the projector. And you had that little plastic thing.
Cigarette burns everywhere.
Oh, you had the ashtray, you know, and everything. Yeah. Lots of buds.
You'd have the plastic film that would project up on top, and you'd have these grease pencils, and that's how you would keep score.
That's exactly right.
I used to keep score for tournaments. Oh, yeah. It was fun. Yeah. My dad's place is cool. 20 lanes on each side, bar in the middle.
Wow.
Yeah, it's nice.
Let's go. And he's only there part-time, though, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Are we ever doing a show in Memphis? Are they going to book us in Memphis ever?
Maybe. I just don't know if we would draw anyone in Memphis. Memphis is not really like a comedy town anymore.
Really great guitar shops.
Oh, I see. When we go to Minneapolis, I'll take you to St. Paul. There's a legendary guitar store there.
I'm in it. I'm loving it.
And I'll take you there.
Do it.
So what are you doing for the holidays?
I don't know. You know, my mom lives in L.A., so I'll, you know, probably hang out with her.
That's cool.
For Christmas.
I'm shutting down.
Yeah. Shutting down.
Powering down.
No email?
No, I haven't had a day off since the day, Thanksgiving was my last day off.
Thanksgiving Day. Oh, yeah.
I haven't been to London, but whatever.
Whatever. Well, I've been to London, and it's really great, man.
Did you see Matt Smith?
Not in London, no. I just saw Tenet.
Why didn't you, like, hey, Matt, I'm in London. Let's hang out. Yeah. I would have done that.
Did Karen ask about me? It's Chris. Hardwick? From the television? Nerdist.
I'm sorry?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's cool. Whatever. We all get busy. Cheers, it's fine. We'll get busy.
Mate.
Almost got to podcast Stephen Moffat.
Oh, that would have
been great.
I sent him a direct message, and he was like, sure, I'd love to. You know, let's hook it up. And then we traded a few emails, and then we just couldn't make this. Just the scheduling didn't work, but he was really cool about it.
Stephen Fry on, too.
I would love to have Stephen Fry on.
Have you seen his Stephen Fry's America that's on Netflix now streaming?
No, but I will.
He goes to all 50 states. It's like a 6-part, 1-hour each episode series where he goes to all 50 states and sees America. It's awesome.
I bet it is.
And he just did this new thing on Sky TV or BBC, I don't really remember, where it's Stephen Fry's Word, where he explores where language came from, and it's also fascinating.
Wow.
Excellent.
Yeah, that guy's fascinating.
Well, that's it. This was a dense show. I mean, I think we did a pretty good job without Jonah. Not that he's not going to come back.
Well, I mean, but we had a presidential candidate on the show,
which
we have never had that when Jonah
was on. That's like worth two Jonahs. Having a presidential candidate.
Like five.
Five Jonas?
Yeah.
We're on a five Jonas scale?
Yeah, we're on a five Jonas scale.
We had Nick on. We had Marvin Kwasnicki. We had you.
Yep.
We also
discovered that the greatest presidential plan includes the following. America's number one.
Space.
We're going back to space.
We're digging for something.
Yeah. We're digging for stuff.
Yeah.
And we're
going to find
for
Bigfoot.
Yes.
Yep.
And everyone's going to know about the aliens.
YouTube.com/Nerdist. We're going to. It's my understanding that Marvin's going to put up a regular stream of videos weekly.
Okay, well, Marvin needs to address his 5-point plan, which is the greatest I've ever heard in my life.
I think he will. I mean, you know, you'll see that unfold in the coming weeks. So go to the Nerdist YouTube channel, subscribe to it, and that's it. That's it for our show.
Well done.
Thank you.
Get well, John. If you're hearing this,
yes.
You're probably better by the time you heard this. I hope. Ooh, that'd be weird.
Well, it's going up tomorrow.
What if you were
so
dead, Jonah. I'm talking to you from the other side.
No, you're going
to
pull him back in. He's, right now,
light.
He's floating
Move
over his body.
It sounds like Ghost Adventures.
No, I'm pulling him back in. Don't tell him to go toward the light. No, pull him back into his body. Like,
Jonah, go toward the light. We captured Jonah. Let's think about this.
We captured Jonah's EVP.
I know he's mean to you sometimes, but that doesn't mean you should push him into
this,
the light.
I get this. Jonah, see that light? It's pretty cool, right? It's you've probably never heard of it. It's a really nice light. They play sometimes in Eagle Rock under a bridge somewhere that you've never heard of. So, I mean, they're really, really good, though, and hilarious, too, at the things that they do. So head to the light.
Matt, stop taunting Jonah's disembodied soul.
Yeah, I mean, that's cool.
Enjoy your burrito, everyone.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
This episode of the Nerdist Podcast is brought to you by Audible. Go to audiblepodcast.com/nerdist and sign up to get your free audiobook download today. Right now, even. Do it.
I'm Shimol Yai, and I have a new podcast called The Competition. Every year, 50 high school senior girls compete in a massive scholarship competition.
I wouldn't say I have an ego problem, but I'm extremely competitive.
All of the competitors are used to being the best and the brightest, and they're all vying for a huge cash prize.
This will probably be the most intense thing you've ever gone through in your life.
I remember that feeling because I was one of them. I lost. But now I'm coming back as a judge and also a kind of teen girl anthropologist. Because if you want to understand what it's like to be a young woman in America today, the competition's not a bad place to start.
Hopefully no one will die on stage tonight.
From Pineapple Street Studios and Wondery, this is The Competition. Follow The Competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to The Competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.